but actually it's God who gives the growth. So what are you getting worked up about Paul for? What are you getting worked up about Apollos for? Or when he addresses the issue, first of all, in chapter 1 from verse 10 following, Cephas as well in there. And then the really spiritual ones say, oh, I follow Jesus. Yeah. So we're just servants, that's all. Actually, it is God who brought you into being. It's God who gave life. It's God who supplied the seed, which is God's word. It was God who gave the ministry of Apollos to keep watering it so that it grew and flourished. But the whole thing, the life, comes from God. Not from any man or woman at all. Only God. Only God will give growth in whatever way you want to categorize the growth amongst us at Hillview. Only God. In the New Testament, growth is numerical, as people were added to the church daily. Geographical, as it spread, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. It is growth in strength, as they oppose the forces that would crush them. And there's growth in godliness, or growth in grace. If Hillview is going to grow numerically, geographically, Kintore, in strength to oppose the stuff that is around us in the world that would pull us away from Jesus, and in grace and godliness, then do not rest your hope for that on Martin and the rest of the leadership. Do not. And if you don't think it's happening, do not blame Martin or anybody else in the leadership. Because it all and only comes from God. Everybody else is just a minister. Everybody else is just a servant. Everybody else just takes it from the sideboard and puts it at your table. That's all. It comes from God. To whom we look. And so, those who plant and those who water are one. They're servants serving the same God. Each will receive his wages according to his labor. We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Now, just in closing, I want to go just a little bit deeper, if you like, to the core of what's going on here when the problem is that some say, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos. What's going on? What's driving this sort of infantile attitude and behavior? What is it that is causing Paul, with an almost sort of tangible exasperation, to say, grow up, you know, knock their heads together? What is it? What is it that is important to these Corinthians? What's important to them is the person they're following, except that when that is the case, it's not actually the person that's following that's important to you, that you're following that's important to you. This is how it works. Let's think of football teams for a while. If you may well follow, I don't know, you may follow Aberdeen, or you may follow Manchester United, or I don't know, any other teams. Tragic, but there we are. And you know, these things happen. It was very brave of you to say that in public like that. That was good. Now, if you follow a particular team that is not doing particularly well, you know in your heart of hearts that they're rubbish, okay? And that they're doing rubbish. You know, and I'm not picking any particular team that I may have mentioned or may have been mentioned from the floor, but there you are. But what is it that you get? You get, here's the crunch, you get your identity from the team you're following. See, Paul, Apollos, actually, what the people who were following Paul were saying was, we're better for following Paul. And Apollos, actually, we're better than you lot for following Apollos. Now, Paul may have had an off day. Quite sure Paul didn't play a blinder every day. But you wouldn't let go of following Paul when your own identity in the group has become tied up with following Paul. So even if Paul goes off the rails a bit, you're still going to be following. I mean, he didn't, obviously. But you're still going to say, I follow Paul. Why? Because your own identity is wrapped up in your following. You see this, where this is going to go? If you're a Christian, you're actually supposed to follow Jesus. Which means what? Which means that your own identity is coming from Jesus. The issue of factions, dissensions, quarrelings, strife, partisanship in a congregation is not actually over who's the best preacher or who's the best worship leader or who's the best whatever, cook, you name it, I don't know. It's over who you think you are and whether you think you're better than somebody else and whether your identity is being affirmed. That makes sense? Get that? But for a Christian who is filled with the Spirit, walking in step with the Spirit, mind controlled by the Spirit, for the Christian, we follow Jesus, which means our identity comes from Him. Our validity comes from Him. Our security comes from Him. Our sense of who we are and why we're here and what we should become all come from Him, which is why Paul says, when he goes on and on about the growth coming from God, and when he says, are not Paul and Apollos simply servants? It's why he ends up saying, you are God's field, God's building. And which is why he's going to end the chapter saying, you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Why are you so worried about Apollos and Paul giving you your sense of identity, giving you your sense of importance, or giving you your sense of worth? Why on earth are you worried about these blokes when you have Christ? You have God in you. Why are you obsessing about being good because of who you follow with some bloke when every single one of you has Christ? It's not going to get any better than that, is it? You have Christ. You have God in you. You have the very life of God in your souls. You are in Him. And so all your identity and value and purpose, all your hope, all your peace, all your ability to live with yourself when you know yourself, all your ability to stand when the devil comes along and wants to crush you, when the devil tells you you're mince and you have to say to him, you're right. But it comes from being in Christ and having God in you. And when you've got that sorted, when you are so walking in step with the Spirit, having your mind infused by what the Spirit will teach you from the Word of God, when the Spirit is helping you to follow Christ, so you get all your sense of value from Him, then you're not going to start falling out over anybody else. Because what you've got together is more than anybody else could ever manage. You've got Christ. And so, the mark of being spiritual is not that you've reached a certain age, therefore you must be. It's not that you can do lots of whoopee-doo stuff. It's that you've got all the character of Christ. You've got the graces. You've got the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, love, joy, peace, all the rest of them, all nine. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. You've got all those. And when you've got those, then going to church is going to be a wonderful experience. Grow up. Stop being worldly. You've got Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you Lord, that in a way that just goes beyond our words, that we have Christ, that your beloved Son is ours, and your Holy Spirit is within us. How we wish we could be more like Jesus. So Lord, we pray for your Spirit to fill us and keep filling us. We pray, Lord, that as a fellowship of your people, we might walk in step with your Spirit. And we pray that we might count it consciously, actively, deliberately, the most wonderful thing about us, that Jesus is Lord. That Jesus is our Lord. That Jesus is in us by the Spirit. And let every other difference fade into irrelevance. In Jesus' name, amen.